Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. Courage. Jack Gilbert was a great poet, but he found fame to be boring. He was looking for something richer, so he disappeared. He traveled away for years, making a living here and there, and writing his poems in private. He allowed his name to be forgotten. Yet, he was happy. His students say he was extraordinary. He lived in a state of uninterrupted marvel. And he encouraged them to do the same. He encouraged them to be brave, for without bravery, they would never know the world as richly as it longs to be known. The fear you need and the fear you don't need. Evolution did well by installing a fear reflex within you, because if you had no fear, you would lead a short, crazy, stupid life. Everyone has fears, except maybe psychopaths, and it's okay, because creativity is a path for the brave, not for the fearless. Although creativity doesn't need fear, fear will always show up. Fear is triggered by creativity because creativity asks us to enter realms of uncertain outcome. And fear hates uncertain outcome. Here are some ways you might be afraid to live a creative life. You're afraid you have no talent. You're afraid you'll be rejected, criticized, or ignored. You're afraid there's no market for your creativity. You're afraid somebody else did it better. You're afraid somebody will steal your ideas. You're afraid you don't have the discipline. My mom would always push me to face my fears. By making me do what I dreaded most. Scared of the ocean? Get in the ocean. Can't answer the phone? You're in charge of answering the telephone. I spent years pushing back against my mother's faith in me, but one day I asked myself, why would I want to keep my fear? Apparently I didn't, and I don't want you keeping yours either. Be brave. Inspiration. Ideas spend eternity swirling around us, searching for available and willing human partners. I'm talking about all ideas here, artistic, scientific, industrial, commercial, ethical, religious, and even political. If an idea thinks you can bring it into the world, it'll pay you a visit, and it'll try to get your attention. Mostly you won't notice. You'll be so consumed by your life that you won't even be receptive to inspiration. At first, it'll try to wave you down, maybe for a long time, but eventually, it'll move on to someone else. But if you're open and relaxed enough to receive something, the magic can slip through. The idea will send you inspiration. You'll notice signs pointing you towards it. In everything you see, touch and do. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night and distract you from your everyday routine. It will not leave you alone until it has your full attention. So what if you cooperate fully, humbly, and joyfully with inspiration? You can clear out whatever obstacles preventing you from living a creative life. You can nourish healthier relationships to keep yourself undistracted by emotional catastrophes. You can dare to be pleased with what you've created. You can resist the seductions of blame and shame. You can support other people in their creative efforts, acknowledging the truth that there's plenty of room for everyone. You can battle your own demons instead of battling your gifts. You can measure your worth by your dedication to your path, not by your outcome. You can believe you're neither a slave to inspiration nor its master. You're its partner. The two of you are working together towards something intriguing and worthwhile. Multiple discovery. Multiple discovery happens outside the scientific field too. In the business world, for instance, there's an understanding that a big idea is out there in the atmosphere, and the first company to grab hold of it will seize the competitive advantage. To me, multiple discovery looks like inspiration hedging its bets, fiddling with the dials, working two channels at the same time. But inspiration's allowed to do that. This is the bizarre, unearthly contract of creative living. There's no theft, no ownership, no tragedy, and no problem. There's no time or space where inspiration comes from. No competition, no ego, and no limitations. There's only the stubbornness of the idea, searching for its stubborn collaborator. Work with that stubbornness. Work with all your heart. Because if you show up for your work, day after day, you might get lucky and burst into bloom. Permission. Are you considering becoming a creative person? Too late, you already are one. If you're alive, you're a creative person. People will try to convince you the arts belong only to a chosen few, but they are wrong and they're also very annoying. We're all makers by design. Your body and your being are designed to live in collaboration with inspiration, and inspiration is trying to find you. That being said, you need to realize that you need nobody's permission to a creative life. You must possess a fierce sense of entitlement. Creative entitlement means believing you're allowed to have a voice and a vision of your own. It's a vital privilege to cultivate if you wish to interact vividly with life. Otherwise, you can't take any creative risks. Your teachers. Do you want to study under the great teachers? Well, you can find them anywhere. They live on the shelves of libraries and on the walls of museums. No living writer has ever taught me more than Charles Dickens did. Though I never met him, I spent years studying his novels and practicing on my own. True, strict, supervised training can be essential if you want to be a professional opera singer or a classic cellist. Still, many marvelous creators have emerged from great schools, but never put it into practice. No matter how great your teachers may be, eventually, you'll be on your own. The hours you'll put into practice will entirely be up to you. The shit sandwich. Every single pursuit, no matter how wonderful it may seem, comes with its shit sandwich. If you want to be an artist, you need to be ready for a million rejections. If you want to be a lawyer, you need to live with the long working hours. To find your purpose, don't ask yourself, what are you passionate about? Ask, what are you passionate about enough to endure its most disagreeable aspects? If you love and want something enough, you won't mind eating that shit sandwich that comes with it. Your day job. Whenever anyone tells me they're quitting their job to write a novel, my palms get sweaty. You can always make your art on the side of your bread and butter. That's what Toni Morrison did when she used to get up at 5 in the morning to work on her novels before going off to her real-life career in the publishing world. That's what J.K. Rowling did back when she was an impoverished single mother, struggling to get by and write on the side. That's what my friend Ann Patchett did back when she worked as a waitress at TGI Fridays and wrote in her spare hours. People don't do this kind of thing because they have extra time and energy for it. They do this because their creativity matters to them enough to sacrifice for it. Nobody's thinking about you. People don't have time to worry about what you're doing because they're all caught up in their own dramas. Even if their attention is drawn to you, it's always temporarily. There's a great release to be found in this idea. You are free. Go be whoever you want to be. Do whatever you want to do. Pursue whatever fascinates you and brings you to life. Create whatever you want to create and let it be imperfect because it's exceedingly likely that nobody will even notice. And that's awesome. Fierce trust. Putting your completed work out there in the world is the most difficult act. There's no guarantee of success in all creative realms. Not for you, not for me, not for anyone. Not now, not ever. So, will you put forth your work anyhow? Fierce trust demands that you do because it knows that outcome doesn't really matter. There's a famous question that shows up in almost every self-help book. What do you love doing so much that the words failure and success become irrelevant? What do you love more than your own ego? How fierce is your trust in that love? You might challenge this idea of fierce trust. You might buck against it. You might want to punch and kick at it. You might ask, why should I go through all the trouble to make something if the outcome might be nothing? The answer will usually come with a wicked trickster grin. Because it's fun, isn't it? What else are you going to do with your time here on Earth? Not make things? Not follow your love and your curiosity? There's always this alternative. After all, you have free will, and you can stop whenever you want. The martyr versus the trickster. In mythology, what's the difference between martyr and trickster? Martyr energy is dark, solemn, macho, hierarchical, fundamentalist, austere, unforgiving, and rigid. Trickster energy is light, sly, transgender, transgressive, animist, seditious, primal, and shape-shifting. The martyr says, I will sacrifice anything to fight this unwinnable war, even if it means being crushed to death. The trickster says, you enjoy that. I'll be over here, running a successful black market operation. Martyr says, life is pain. Trickster says, life's interesting. Martyr says, the system is rigid against all good and sacred. Trickster says, there is no system. Everything's good and nothing is sacred. The martyr says, the world can never be solved. The trickster says, perhaps not. It can be gained. The martyr says, death before dishonor. Trickster says, let's make a deal. In the end, martyr always ends up dead in a heap of broken glory, while trickster trots off to enjoy another day. We all have both trickster and martyr inside us. At some point, you'll have to decide which one to nourish, cultivate, and bring into being. Remember, better a trickster than a martyr be. Conclusion. Creativity is sacred and not sacred. What we make matters, and it doesn't matter. We toil alone. And we are accompanied by spirits. We're terrified, and we're brave. Art is a crushing chore, yet a wonderful privilege. Only when we are at our most playful can the universe get serious with us. Make space for all these paradoxes to be true inside your soul.